It's a story as old as time.
Yeah, it was a...
One of the hackiest jokes about men you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's dead on. And it doesn't matter the age, generation you're a part of, where you're from, what you do. Men ignore these.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone in this room has realized, without even meaning to...
Yeah.
You totally dismiss this,
mm-hmm.
which exists only for your safety.
And everybody else's.
You hang it out, The Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So you had a realization.
Yes. I went to get a vaccination.
Okay.
I had to get a shot. And as I'm, and I get it, my wife was at the pharmacy. So I get the shot, and at the end she goes, just as a precaution, just stay at the store for 15 minutes, walk around to her. In case you have a problem or a relapse, you know, something, a reaction,
okay.
You're here. So I go, sure. And I get up from the chair, and I walk straight out of my car, and I drove home because I wanted lunch. And I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't even dawn on me.
Like, that's not for me.
Well, no,
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, I'm going to do that. And I left. And I realized, like, man, I just blew that chick off big time. And I'm in my car having a just getting a shot. I'm almost 66 years old.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I could have had some crazy reaction and drove into somebody.
So at what point did you have that realization?
Right around when I was eating my lunch.
Okay. All right.
Because I made my lunch, yeah. And I sat down, I go, man, I just blew that off completely.
Yeah.
But Kimmy, here's what's so mind-blowing about this, right? Like, you know, stubborn guys, like, okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Tommy didn't even...
Yeah, you weren't even stubborn about it.
No.
You just
that warning wasn't for me.
Do,
it wasn't for me.
It was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Warning was for you, even though she looked you in the face.
It was my shot in my body.
And she said, you, sir,
yes.
Tommy Boulay, this is what you should do
it's
to keep yourself
like
safe.
It's almost like you didn't even hear it.
But I know I said, sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that, lady.
By the way, she watched you just walk away.
Yeah,
well. I got avocados at home I want
to
eat.
How disrespectful do you look to this woman?
Well, she didn't know that. Well, I guess she, yeah.
She watched you walk away.
Yeah.
There's chairs there for you to sit in. Yeah, they
wanted to let you. 15 minutes of sitting. I ain't got that kind of time, man, even though I do.
You have nothing but time.
Yeah, but you know how it is.
All right, look. Here's the thing. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I want to kill you here, but I can't, because I am just as guilty of stuff like this as you are.
Yeah.
I pay no attention to warnings. I do not ever read directions. We as men do things our own way.
Yeah.
It is a tale of as old as time. But it's also something we've never really figured out.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Why do men have such a hard time with warnings and directions?
I think it's control.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're telling me I had to do something. You gotta wait 15 minutes. You gotta sit over here.
Okay.
You know, and like a little sissy boy. Just a little shot, make you feel icky inside.
Okay.
You wanna come back in and give you a candy bar or a lollipop?
Okay, so you would say here in this case that not taking that warning would make you look not tough.
Yeah, sissy boy.
All right.
Soft.
That you're smarter than everybody else by walking out of there.
I had a million shots in my day. Bet no big deal. I was around for polio, buddy.
No, I could see it in your face. Look.
I think it affects your legs more.
Yeah, that's how bad your polio was. You got
went straight to the face?
You got polio leg face. Sounds like a villain from Dick Tracy. It's old polio leg face, and he's got a Tommy gun. Look, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But when you really think about it, if we as men were actually worried about looking tough or being smarter than everyone else, we would pay attention to warnings and directions.
Yeah.
Because you know what doesn't look tough? Hurting yourself because you didn't heed a warning.
And you don't want to be bothered. So I also never look at instructions.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
And that drives my wife crazy. Because like as soon as I get something, I open it up, I rip apart the box, I throw that out, the instructions, and I'll lay it all out, figure it out. And then, of course, disaster.
Yeah, sure.
But like, I couldn't be bothered with instructions. I don't want to read things.
No, but like, look, I'm with you. I do the same thing. But here's the thing. You look the most smart as a man when you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can put something together without using the instructions, you're brilliant.
Mm.
Until you're 2 hours into something, you mess up whatever you're putting together, and your wife is there to point out what you did wrong, and now you're digging through the garbage to try and find the directions you ripped in half and tape them back together. Like, the not heeding the warnings and not following directions, in the end, makes us all look like idiots.
Yeah, true. But we don't like to be encumbered. You know what I mean? We don't like obstacles.
Yeah.
Sit. do this, do that.
Sure, you know what's a pretty big obstacle to that thing working?
Right.
Not knowing how to put it together because you don't use the instructions.
Yeah.
You know what's a pretty big obstacle to you getting home and eating lunch? You passing out behind the wheel of your car because you had a reaction to a vaccine that you told you to wait for.
Your dad got to the hospital unconscious.
Barely.
Wait, and he found a parking spot.
And here, yeah, in the side of the hospital.
It still parked the car, and it stopped.
Is part of your rationale for doing that, too, is you just assume it's not going to happen to
yes.
you?
Yes. Like, it didn't even dawn on me.
Yeah, that happens to other guys. I'm good.
I'm pretty healthy. I like I said, I take shots, so.
The assumption that, like, it'll be fine.
No, I mean, sure. That's you're right. Everybody thinks it'll never happen to me.
So my wife is, like, super precautious, right? So when she goes and gets her eyes exam, you know, they dilate your pupils and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So she always wants me to come with her so she can somebody can drive her home.
Yeah.
I never do that.
Wait, stop.
Like, when you go to get your
I get my eyes checked, and they dilate your pupils.
Yeah.
And they're a little
you get
fuzzy.
A little fuzzy. Yeah,
a little fuzzy.
It's not easy to see. I've had
but
that done.
Yeah. I always tell them, no, you don't have to come with me.
Do they tell you to have someone drive you home?
I don't know.
Is this just simple, like, listening comprehension that we're hearing here? Like,
I listen.
You're not actually taking in what they're saying?
Well, no, because he heard that.
Like, if you were actually listening to the consequences or what could happen, maybe you would be a little more cautious. But I don't even think you're listening after a certain point.
All right.
If they tell you to not drive home.
Not drive, you know, wait, drive, maybe a little fuzzy.
You already can't see, period, end of sentence.
Right.
I can see pretty good. What?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Tommy goes and gets a shot from the pharmacy at Wegmans. The woman tells him, just wait 15 minutes in case you have a bad reaction.
Yeah.
Tommy goes, absolutely, and then walks out the door. It didn't even mean to be a dick about it. He is so conditioned to not heed warnings and follow directions that his body, his legs, his baby little legs, polio legs, just slowly walked him to his car, and you didn't even have the realization until you were at home eating lunch.
No.
All right, let's figure this out.
What's that?
All right, and we might need women here to help us because they have an outside view.
Yeah.
Where as men did we learn this behavior from? Because it's not like it's handed down. No father has ever put their hand around their son's shoulder and said, son, never heed any warning and never read any single direction on my grave.
But, I mean, you saw your father do things that weren't right.
And we laugh at our fathers and grandparents for doing exactly what we're describing.
And you would criticize them for doing the same thing.
Yes.
Like, if your dad told you that story, you would have said, Dad, you gotta sit and wait.
Yes.
You don't know how it's going to hit you.
You're an idiot.
You have told 15, 20 minimum stories of your father not following directions, not heeding warnings, and it blowing up in his face. And you howl with laughter on the show. We all do. And you go, what an idiot. And then you grew up and did the same thing.
Maybe we just find a different way to be idiots.
Okay. Is it in our brains? Seriously. Like, is there something in male DNA where eventually we all do this? Because this doesn't affect women. Women will heed warnings. Women will read directions. And again, they weren't like raised. Like, their mothers didn't put, honey, for the rest of your life, no matter what happens, heed every warning and read every direction.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like, maybe we're just more willing to admit that we're not the expert on certain things.
Okay.
You know, like, if a doctor tells me something, I'm like, you know what? They're the expert. I'm going to listen to what they have to say. Whereas you, for whatever reason, with no degree, you're like, I know my body. It's not going to affect me. So shut up, lady. Let me leave.
Okay.
Yeah, my brother has stopped taking medications because he thinks the doctor's wrong.
Which is insane.
What?
Yes. Yeah. He argued with him and goes, you know what? I don't even need to take it anymore. I don't listen to the guy. Guy that he trusts with his life.
Okay.
And, like, think how many guys I know that are on daily medication that drink.
Yeah.
That drink.
Yeah.
I know my other brother, when he was a big vodka guy, would take his medicine with his vodka.
Wait, like swallow it with the
yeah,
vodka?
Yeah, like he could take his pills at night for whatever he had, the blood pressure and a couple other things.
Oof.
He would take that with his drink.
Okay. Okay, that, as stupid as it is, I kind of get because I like drink. You know, if I like drinking and they tell me.
But it's pharmaceuticals. I mean, it's doing things to your body.
It's
stupid,
man. It's a stupid thing to do. But I also understand, like, the grip of addiction, and I don't want to give this up.
So when my brother had to go get his colonoscopy, you had to drink that god-awful ass bomb the night before, and it just cleans your ass out. And he was mixing it with booze to get it down. And he goes, man, he goes, it's not that bad if you add. He was basically making an old fashioned ass bomb.
What is he, a British soldier in the early 1900s trying to get the malaria? What is he doing?
He goes, you know, I got it down. It wasn't so chalky.
Did he tell the doctors this?
No,
he
told me.
Oh my God.
Because I was going through it, and he goes, you know, he goes, put some scotch in it, man. It goes down quicker. Okay. And I don't know what that does to your, like, to your butt channel.
Your butt channel.
Well, the channel where your everything comes out.
No,
the brown track.
Spectrum change what we get with our package. So yeah, I lost the butt channel. Yeah. I don't have it anymore.
But
so
you know, it's that brown track.
Does it? It also surprises me sometimes too, when it comes to you guys taking warnings, because you'll blindly trust a buddy that gives you the worst advice ever, and you will heed that guy's warning or what that guy says. But, like, the doctor tells you something, and you're like, nah.
Yeah.
I mean, part of that, I think, is your buddy's telling you what you want.
My old man was handing out Viagra at a cocktail party.
Yeah.
And people didn't even know what that was then. He just called it your pecker pill. And the guys all took it as a joke. But it was in a bottle that said, Mike Mulay, Pharmacy of Eckerd, you know, take one as needed.
I mean, Kimmy, look, the logic in your statement about we'll take advice from buddies but not experts, you're right. On the surface, that is stupid. But maybe most of it comes down to we just want someone to tell us what validates the thing we believe on.
Yeah, you want to hear what you want to hear.
Okay, but that doesn't explain directions.
No.
Right? True. Where does that come from?
Right.
We got a whole bunch of messages coming in. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Let's start on Instagram. Duffy on WCMF. Josh writes us. We don't have to listen to warnings because most warnings are written for idiots. Everyone knows not to eat toothpaste or paint. Okay. Counterpoint, though. Mm-hmm. Even the warnings that are pretty obvious, like don't hold this firework, get broken all the time. I would argue that the really stupid warnings exist for men.
I will say this. Every man by my age has been on a ladder and stepped on the part where it says, do not step on this, because you're just trying to reach up and get this done.
So close.
I'll put my hand on the wall. Yep. I'm going to stand on the top of this ladder. I just want this project done.
No, you're right.
Every man has had that Neil Armstrong moment.
What's that sound like?
One small Jesus Christ.
Dan?
Neil, we lost you.
Wait, was Pat there?
Yeah, Pat is there too. Very, hope you get that project done at the house.
Dan writes us on Twitter, DMs us. He says, the older I get, the more I break rules without guilt. Now, that's another interesting part, because I don't know if you should feel guilty. I mean, in your case, you may have disrespected that woman. I may have just walked
away.
Oh, I don't think you feel guilty. I think you feel, like, almost proud, like, empowered by the fact that you broke that rule and nothing happened.
But that's what's weird about it, right? Like, I don't know why guilt would factor into it, because you're right. You feel like a strong man.
I got one over on somebody.
But unless it goes wrong.
And it will. Eventually, something's going to bite you in the ass.
So then are there warnings that you will listen to?
Probably.
Like, is there something you can do where you know I'm in over my head. I better read the directions. I better look at the warning.
I think it's something you have a phobia of.
Yeah, like, he's right.
Like, I'm afraid of heights, so I'm not going to stand on that ladder anymore. You know, I'm not going to do that. It has to be something your body won't let you react to.
No, to your point,
it'll stop you.
I have this irrational fear that I'm going to blow up my house with a propane tank.
Yeah.
So, like, I will follow every direction to get that tank attached to the grill.
It's funny you bring up propane tanks, because I have a relative that he throws a party every year, and it's like a big clam bake. And he has these propane tanks where you cook the pots, the things. And I looked at them, and they're, like, old and rusty.
Okay.
And I had said to him, you know, propane tanks have a date on it. They won't fill them anymore. And he goes, yeah, I fill them myself. I got a thing.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Did that make you nervous?
Yeah. Because these things look like he found them at the bottom of a lake.
Oh,
and he's firing them up and lighting them up and cooking them clams, man. And these things, I'm telling you, man, they're ready to blow any second.
Holy crap.
He fills them himself, and I don't even know how you do that.
Oh, dangerously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But he's got, like, a big piece of property, so you wouldn't hear him for a day or two.
Adam writes us on Facebook. He says, I can admit I am this guy, and I don't like it, talking about not listening to warnings, directions. My wife says she's figured out it's because I'm impatient.
Yes, that's a good one.
Reading the instructions take too long. Maybe all guys are impatient. That is a good theory.
You're always in a rush.
Is that what it is?
You're always in a rush. Let's get it done. Let's just do this.
You know, maybe
sometimes you don't get it done that way.
Or period.
Yeah.
Right? Like a half project in the garage that lives there forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may never figure out why this whole not heeding warnings or not following directions starts for men, but we can nail down why we as men keep ignoring warnings and instructions. For some reason, you only remember the times it goes well.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for example, Tommy, it's very unusual for a guy your age to have this realization driving away from Wegmans the other day. Like, I'm impressed that you even had the realization, because most guys would have passed on that warning and then use it as an excuse to not have to listen to future warnings.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you never remember the times it blows up in your face.
Yeah.
That leaves your mind. But the time you were right, the one out of five times.
So, like, my old man, like, the only time he would listen to other people would be men above him and socially.
Okay.
Like, you know, he's a big shot over there. You know, he's one of the top guys in his field. If they would have to be that person that would be above him socially to listen to.
So you have to admire the person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, but if it was, he wasn't taking any advice from a woman. If his generation just, you know, I'm not listening to some broad, tell me what to do, it's my car, drive. You know what I mean? Some nurse, not even a doctor. You know what I mean? He had that mentality.
Sure.
So it'd have to be like, top guy,
sit
here and do that. Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, that'd be an interesting study, is like, just as far as doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Are men more likely to listen to a male doctor than a female doctor these days?
Because,
I mean, it's not unique to have female doctors
but
anymore.
What if,
I'm sleeping with one.
But I guess, what if she's telling you more of what you want to hear than that male doctor is? Because that may be more of a factor than the gender of the doctor.
Okay. That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go with that woman's advice because I like that plant better.
Okay. Well, the ladies have shown up, by the way,
all right,
because we're talking about theories. Alicia writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF. There's a reason why women outlive men. If it wasn't for us, you'd never go to the doctors, you'd never remember to pay your bills, and you'd never remember to eat. Men are fantastic at maintaining their cars, houses, hell, even the lawnmower, but they are terrible at maintaining themselves. That is the most depressing true statement I've ever heard in my life.
Makes sense, though.
Here's the thing, I don't even maintain the other stuff. Pam writes us, sorry, Duffy. I'm a 61-year-old woman who never reads directions and never listens to my doctor. My hubby is the opposite. I hate going to the doctors. Love your show. You're all fantastic. Oh, thanks, Pam. The opposite? The woman that's stubborn?
Hmm.
So he listens and pays attention?
I guess.
Obeys the rules?
How do you picture that man in your head?
A bit of a soft boy.
Really?
Softer old man.
Like, what does he look like? What does he wear?
What does he wear? Yeah, whatever he's told.
Well, no. Okay.
Yeah. He's never purchased clothes. She buys them, makes him wear them.
Oh, poor Shelly. She said she loved
him. No, good guy. He's a great, you know, as my wife would say, he's a good man. He's a good man.
You know,
which means
really
he's really being taken advantage of.
It's really weird because my husband loves following directions.
What do you mean?
Like, when he gets mad at me if I start to take something, if let's say we're putting something together.
Okay.
Right? If I start taking it out of the box too fast, he's like, wait, we got to set it down. We got to count everything out.
Oh, I can't do that.
We got to read the directions step by step.
So does that make
him? What does that make him, Tommy?
He's got poor judgment. He's one of the good ones because he's a firefighter.
He sees
the dangers of not listening to the rules and regulations. That's a little different.
He's only been a firefighter for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's not much of a firefighter?
Are
you saying he's a rookie?
Yeah, I'll say that.
He's a newbie?
You know that my 12-year-old watches all of the firefighter shows designed for 60-year-old women, so I am up on my rookie firefighter talk.
I would say your husband is one of the good ones.
Okay.
Let's take a break. Ooh, you're supposed to do it with me, you dick.
Yeah, I know, you're bobbing your head.
Yeah, no, he thinks he's like, got one over on me because
I did
the ooze by myself. Turns out, not just in this moment, Tommy, we're being dicks. At least according to this high-end culinary expert.
Ooh.
Because these places that we'll stick our nose up at and say, oh, this food is disgusting.
Yeah.
He says, no, not anymore.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy, you familiar with it? Tommy, are you familiar with Andrew Zimmerman?
How do I know that name?
Bald, fat celebrity chef.
Okay.
If you have not heard his name, you have seen his face. He's been on shows throughout, like, cooking networks.
So he's top chef.
Yeah, for the last 25 years. The guy is a high-end chef.
All right.
And he, in an article this week.
What did he say?
Says that we are all being way too snobby about gas station food.
Oh. Okay.
So Zimmerman says, I guess he travels to promote the things that he does.
Yeah.
He said he's been living out of a van, really, for the last 25 years, going from city to city, doing shows and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he says that we are living in a renaissance of gas station food.
Well, I mean, to his point, you love that one place.
Yeah.
that has like is it Indian food?
Yeah, it's on West Henrietta Road. No, it's it's Middle Eastern food that was got famous in Germany. It's called a Donner Plate. I will eat there twice a week. I love it. It's like legitimately good food.
And at Hess Station in the Basin, they have gourmet beer and they have beer tastings.
Yeah,
I guess he's right. But not every gas station, you know.
All right, so here's the thing. He touches on what you're describing there. Right. I'll read you a quote. He says, when you're in Arizona and you have a breakfast burrito at a gas station with three grandmas in the back rolling up homemade chorizo with eggs and crispy potatoes, handing them to you, you're in a very, very special place and you're about to eat something really extraordinary. They're all hiding in plain sight. So, yes, you're right. When you get these mom-and-pop restaurants out of gas stations, they could surprise you. Mm. Barbecue in the South has been that way.
Yeah.
However, he also talks about, like, the standard chain gas station food. Quote, and by the way, in today's price-conscious world, there should be a pizza that's a whole pizza that can feed a family of four people really easily and not cost you $1 million, and it's good.
Oh.
He goes on to praise some of the chain restaurant gas stations that have barbecue, says it's like wholesome, old-school barbecue, and he says that everybody that looks at gas station food on a roller or on a pizza plate or as a burger and goes, ugh, not for me, you're just being a dick.
Well, them hot dogs can get a little iffy on the roller.
I think like there are some people that grew up on gas station food. We didn't have it as much here. Like I don't think we had as many options. But like, I mean, I remember kids that grew up with like Wawa and Sheetz, and like they swear by that. Like that was their fast food.
So those,
over anything.
I mean, those started in Pennsylvania.
Those are institutions,
And they are legitimate restaurants. Like I enjoy the food at Wawa and Sheetz when I'm taking my daughter on the.
But road. I wouldn't go there to eat. You know what I mean? Like if I'm, it's convenient, but I mean, if I would have to be there for something else. To get that food.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm stopping in for gas, whatever. I need milk, I'll grab it. But I'm not going to a gas station to settle in and eat.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm always surprised, too. There's a 7-Eleven around the corner for me. And, like, if you go at a certain time of day, like, if you're going when a lot of people are getting out of work, like, there are guys there, like, getting the wings and stuff to go. I guess I never realized how popular some of that food is.
All right, so here's the thing. Awesome. I think there are two factors that make what we believe maybe different than what's actually happening as we talk about Andrew Zimmerman, celebrity chef, saying that everyone that turns their nose up at gas station food is just being a snob for snob's sake. One, you know, you brought up the roller dogs. Kimmy, you talked about the wings. Yeah, back in the day, those roller dogs were roller dogs.
Oh, yeah.
But I also haven't had a roller dog from a gas station in 20 years.
Man, you're a healthier guy for it.
But here's the thing. Maybe the quality is vastly improved.
They've elevated the dog.
I mean, think about the difference in some restaurants over Zimmerman. Okay, Matthew, shut up. Who cares? But no, I mean, think about the difference in quality of other restaurants in a matter of two decades.
Yeah.
Things that have gotten way better, things that have gotten way worse. It's possible those dogs and wings and pizzas are actually good.
But if I want pizza, I'd rather go get a pizza from one of the joints in town, not the gas station.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I mean?
But he brings up a good point. There should be a pizza that feeds a family of four that's affordable.
Yeah, but it's going to taste like crap. He's going to tell me it's going to taste good or it's not going to taste like some frozen pizza.
How do you know?
That they warmed up.
How do you know?
How else could they make it that affordable?
I know there are gas stations that roll dough and make the pizza in front of you. Now, I don't know if the dough probably comes in frozen and maybe it's all for show, but I've seen them do it. Right? So he talks about Casey's. We don't have one of those around here. Mm. But he says their barbecue is like world-class barbecue.
Oh.
And there are people that swear by both Burn Dairy and Crosby's for the food that they'll make behind the counter for you. Burn Dairy's got some pretty good items on that list.
All right. I mean, would you eat like a sub?
Yeah, I would.
I wouldn't choose to get a sub from a gas
station. Yeah, I wouldn't trust it.
Some of them have delis in them.
Understood.
No, but I'm saying like they make their own subs. Though. Yeah. It's not like a DeBella's in there.
No, Burn Dairy does that. They make their own subs. I've never had a Burn Dairy sub, so maybe I'm off base here. But if I'm going out for a sub, I'm going to like a local.
That's what I'm saying. And I feel the same way about pizza.
But I haven't had it, so I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong here.
So I guess I haven't been out that way in a while. There was a gas station on Manitou Road that was like known for their breakfast sandwiches.
Oh.
Like people raved about them.
Breakfast I could get around. That sounds good. It's just a sausage and a biscuit.
Do it or not, but I remember people loved them.
But I think what you're bringing up there is the other point that we're missing here. I think that how you feel about gas station food is also directly related to the size of the town you grew up in.
No, okay.
Because even up here, right? I mean, down in the South, some gas stations. It's the only place in
town.
It's the town hall. Exactly.
Yeah.
But even in some small towns up here, there are gas stations that have fully functioning restaurants. They've always been that way. It's not like a chain restaurant. It's just like if you grew up in a town where the gas station was, like you said, the town hall, you have a different opinion on gas station food.
Like I ain't drinking no gas station coffee. Now, if they got a Dunkin' in there, that's a different story. But if it's just their pots and brew,
yeah,
no.
When's the last time you had it?
Long time ago when I was a poor boy.
How do you know it's not great?
Huh?
I was born by a gas station, drinking all that coffee.
And I drove away and I never looked back. No, I can't. And maybe it is good. It's just something about, to me, that's swill.
Okay, no, but you're also a self-admitted smug dick.
Oh, yeah.
And he is saying you're being an Andrew Zimmern.
I know. But if it's Dunkin', if there was a Starbucks, something I know.
No, I get it. That's not what this is, though. We're talking straight up gas station 7-Eleven in the pot coffee.
Here's the thing. Like, when I was on the road, poor.
Yeah.
Truck stop coffee was really good.
Okay.
But I wouldn't drink it now.
All right. Why don't you just have a cup one day to see if it catches? Because you could be saving yourself a fortune.
I know. But I don't want to go back, man.
I'm moving forward, man. I'm in Pittsburgh now. Look at me now,
Dad. I broke free.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Adam. Hey, Adam. How are you, buddy?
Not bad. Not eating gas station breakfast, though, that's for sure.
Okay. Why? Wait, so you're anti-gas station food?
Well, if you got to, you got to. But first of all, Andrew Zimmern, wasn't his first show that Disgusting Eats?
Yes, it was. I love
disgusting.
That show. I love that
show.
Oh,
my God.
What was it called?
Well, Disgusting Eats. It was all about your mom. Damn it!
Oh, yeah! Good one, Ty. Well, anyway.
I got credit.
The Burn Dairy takeover, like you guys have spoken about, right? The Burn Dairy revolution that's going on in the area. it's garbage. After a new location is open for, like, a year, and you start to see the people that are working in there, you realize these people are not chefs. And, you know, the breakfast...
Hold on. Huh? In the defense of those people, okay. Like, bro, if I walk into any other, like, quick service restaurant, it's the same people.
Top, right. Top-tier chef.
I've never been into a sub place that's going to make me a footlong where I'm like, hey, these are all, you know, they all have their doctorate in roast beef. Like, what are you talking about?
Yep. Okay, fair enough. But at least there's a reputation behind a Subway, maybe. But so anyway, one night I ordered a pizza from Burn Dairy because, you know, when you're hammered at midnight and they're open 24 hours a day, it sounds like a good idea.
So this opinion really has a lot of weight. I'm drunk at midnight and I was disappointed in the service.
The service was it because the pizza wasn't terrible, but the kid gave me the large double cheese and pepperoni pizza, but he didn't even slice it. He didn't even cut it into pieces. He just handed me a whole pie. And I had to go home. I opened it up.
That's never stopped me from eating a pizza.
Actually, the officer had to point it out to him when he got pulled over.
Adam, can I throw out a theory? Was it possible you were being such a drunken dick? They were like, watch what we're going to do to this guy. And they gave me the uncut pizza?
No, I don't think so. Because they don't know who you are when you're ordering it,
okay.
Really. It's garbage.
All right, well, Adam, everybody's opinion is valid here on the show, except for yours. But thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate it.
I hope Jeremy calls and gives us a real perspective.
Thank you, Adam. There goes Adam.
A Jeremy request.